on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, this month has been the busiest November on record for Letterkenny University Hospital. Intelligence-led operations to protect those in the sex trade have been carried out in Donegal. A Donegal deputy has described plans to lift the pay restrictions on senior bankers as a kick in the teeth for struggling workers and families. And there's been a cautious welcome to the increase in the social housing income eligibility threshold for Donegal. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First news, this month has been the busiest November on record for Letterkenny University Hospital. It was the third most overcrowded hospital in the country this month with 1,108 people on a trolley. According to the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, it was the worst month for overcrowding nationally also. Over 12,600 people have been without beds in hospitals this month. Meanwhile, an unprecedented number of children have been left waiting on trolleys for admission to hospital. Assistant Director of Industrial Relations at the INMO, Mary Rose Carroll, says they knew this crisis was coming.
We have lack of capacity within the hospitals. There aren't enough beds. And what we're really seeing, particularly now for the first time ever, is the number of children that we're seeing on trolleys in hospitals, up to 40 per day. And we've seen over 500 over that since the beginning of the year.
Intelligence-led operations to protect those in the sex trade have been carried out in Donegal. Last week, Gardaí carried out 2 days of targeted action and met with 112 sex workers in 11 counties, including Donegal. 46 people were discovered allegedly purchasing sex. One person in the southwest informed Gardaí that there are a number of people in their area who they believe have been trafficked into the country. Another in the east of the country reported a suspected pimp who they believe has financial control of a number of people living locally. Superintendent Derek Maguire explains what happens when they've been identified as a victim of human trafficking.
They're entered into the national referral mechanism, which allows them a suite of services, including accommodation, medical support, legal advice, security advice. They're entitled to 60 days reflection and recovery period after they've been identified as a potential victim of trafficking.
A Donegal deputy has described plans to lift the pay restrictions on senior bankers as a kick in the teeth for struggling workers and families. The proposals would enable banks pay bonuses of up to €20,000 to their employees, while Bank of Ireland's current salary cap of €500,000 will be removed. Remuneration restrictions were put in place on the banks in the wake of the financial crash over 10 years ago. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson, Deputy Pierce Doherty, hit out at the plans.
Lowly paid workers should get a pay rise. These banks are profitable. AIB and Bank of Ireland, between them, made 900 million, nearly €1 billion profit in the first 6 months of this year. They can well afford to pay their staff proper wages. We actually support the idea of low-paid workers and banks actually being paid more. I have no problem with actually bonuses being paid to them. There was a €1,000 cost of living payment paid by most of the banks to most of their employees just a couple of weeks ago. That can be done, Greg, with the consent of the Minister for Finance, and that's a good mechanism because then at least you know that it's going to ordinary people. But let's be clear about this here, and this is just Micheál Martin desperately trying to divert attention to the fact that he sat around a table yesterday with his Fianna Fáil colleagues, including Charlie McConnell, let me say that. And they decided, despite all the pressures that are in different places, in terms of, recruitment in our hospitals or housing crisis, those in emergency accommodation, no longer just in Dublin, but in Donegal and elsewhere, that they decided that the priority yesterday was to allow bankers to, which have got their salaries capped at €500,000, to actually lift that and allow them to be paid whatever. And I think that's just scandalous. I really think it's deaf and it makes no sense whatsoever. And to try and, as I said, suggest that this is about pay increases, it's not. This is about bonuses and salary caps. It's not about pay increases for ordinary workers. Of course, the union will try now and negotiate, bonuses for their employees, and fair play if they do. But let me say this here, because I sat across the table from the CEOs, this isn't who this is targeted at.
It's emerged the housing minister is awaiting correspondence from Donegal County Council with regards to provision of temporary accommodation for de facto block homeowners whose properties are unlivable. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle warned in the Dáil that some homeowners cannot wait for a remediation scheme and that government needs to act immediately. In responding to Deputy Pringle, Minister Dara O'Brien acknowledged that those in uninhabitable homes need urgent support.
The MICA Action Committee held a protest in Lifford in relation to an inaction of Donegal County Council and actually rolling out a scheme to that many homeowners could actually buy into. It seems that the council is just simply waiting for the department to make a decision in terms of putting the scheme together. There needs to be something happen very quickly to provide accommodation for families that have had to leave their homes because of MICA is destroying their homes. They can't wait for a remediation scheme. The council should be putting together sites, preparing for temporary accommodation for those families that urgently need it because they can't wait.
I met with Donegal County Council with the Chief Executive, two Directors of Services very recently. We went through the specific issue in relation to those homes that are deemed uninhabitable right now and how we can advance the arrangements in relation to expenses and other accommodation. And those are the same enhanced measures that we brought forward in the defective concrete block scheme, the new scheme that's underpinned by the legislation that we passed. I'm waiting for the local authority to revert to me with some items, particularly around the scale of that particular cohort of homeowners. We want to help, we will, and we're working through that right now. I'll keep deputies from the region fully informed of progress on that. But I'm acutely aware of how urgent it is. What I would say to the deputy is the basis that we're doing this is under the new enhanced scheme, and that's important that that's in place. But I do know homeowners are awaiting word on that, and we're trying to move through the applications as quickly as we can now.
An emergency teacher supply task force is needed, according to the INTO. The Irish National Teachers Organisation says today's consultative forum on teacher supply has failed to outline any meaningful mitigation to the staffing crisis. INTO General Secretary John Boyle says the cost of living crisis, an inability to access housing and significant rent increases have exacerbated the problems associated with teacher recruitment. The Teachers Union of Ireland says after today's discussions, it has little faith in the Department of Education's commitment to tackling the teacher recruitment crisis. There's been a cautious welcome to the increase in the social housing income eligibility threshold for Donegal. Housing Minister Dara O'Brien announced a €5,000 increase in the threshold for the county, meaning those who are seeking social housing can now earn up to €30,000. The figure, however, is still €10,000 behind other counties. Councillor Michael McLafferty says much more needs to be done for people in Donegal.
There's no other reason, Michaela, why any other various county that is there on that list is getting between 5,000 to 10,000 more than Donegal. That 10,000 more could make a hell of a difference to families here at the moment. Even as 5,000 at the minute, Michaela speaks, it puts the rate up to, from 25,000 currently here in Donegal to be eligible up to 30,000. That's welcomed, yes, as I say. But two people working in the house, that's going to still knock many people out. And that's where the difficulty lies. But if that was put up to 40,000 in Donegal, which other counties are going to avail of now, it would help a lot of people in Donegal and put a lot of people onto the list. This is clearly done to frustrate the housing list, cause yet more of a logjam in that, and yet all we're going to see in Donegal is yet more frustration, more logjams, and for as I can see, very little happening because the government of the day are not really putting their shoulder to the wheel when the people need it most.
A Donegal doctor is warning parents to become familiar with the symptoms of RSV as cases are on the rise. Last week saw the highest cases of RSV the country has ever recorded, with newborn and small babies mostly affected. RSV is a common winter infection and symptoms often include a fever, cough or runny nose. Speaking earlier on today's 9 till noon show, Dr. Kieran O'Farrey says the high number of cases is down to children's lack of exposure to the virus due to COVID-19 lockdowns.
Bronchiolitis tends to be the first presentation of RSV in children, and that can be quite scary for particularly new parents. You know, it's a small infant. They can have quite noisy breathing, quite a loud cough. They can look like they're struggling. So it can be a dramatic presentation in young infants, and they can look quite unwell.
Yeah, a number of parents out there reporting that young ones, not necessarily 6 months old, but younger children are persistently ill. Are you seeing that?
This is something we see a lot in general practice, particularly in wintertime. We see kids with recurrent coughs, recurrent runny noses, sore throats, all that. And most of that is very common, and it's not unusual for a child to have 7 to 10 viral infections in those early years. And obviously, this winter, we're seeing a bit of a change because of the reduced respiratory illnesses that we saw over the last few winters. So specifically looking at RSV, we've seen higher case numbers in the last few weeks than we've ever seen before in this country. And that's been attributed to the fact that usually under the age of 2, most children would have been exposed to RSV. And that didn't happen over the last 2 winters because of lockdown and reduced illness. So they're now being exposed to it for the first time and having quite a significant amount of presentations, particularly in that older group of the 2, 3, 4 year olds, so those that are going to play school and creches, who might have had an easier run over the last 2 years.
The Gaelic of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District is calling for a permanent solution to issues in Manor Cunningham, which has once again left residents without water. The area of Ross Brocken has been plagued with supply problems due to pipes repeatedly bursting. Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly says people have been suffering for too long.
I've asked that they look into now replacing these pipes as a matter of urgency, because this has gone on far too long. The same thing that occurred last Christmas, these families were left with no water running up to Christmas Day, you know. And that's simply not good enough, and I'm not willing to stand back again this Christmas and let these families go through the same rigmarole. So I'm just urging now that Irish Water look into this as a matter of urgency and do the right thing and replace the pipes.
Data from the Regional Development Monitor must be used to address regional deficits. That's according to IBEC. The online interactive data platform will monitor a wide range of socio-economic indicators across placemaking, climate action and economic development. It will then provide unique insights, allowing IBEC to better understand the strengths and weaknesses of regions across a range of areas. Helen Leahy is IBEC's Head of Regional Policy.
A useful resource when it comes to future planning, and it's a positive development when it comes to regional development. So it will monitor a range of different socio-economic indicators across placemaking, environmental indicators, and also economic development related to the region's economy. So it will provide an important window to the performance and impact on the ground that national and regional policies are having. So what it will do is it provides a state of play, of local and regional competitiveness. And this allows us ultimately, I suppose, to better understand the strengths and weaknesses of the region across a range of different areas.
And indeed, for Donegal in particular, which there has been a noted regional imbalance, it will be vitally important for here.
So how we use the data will be important on the development of regions. And the focus must be on using the information available through the monitor to better engage in evidence-based planning and decision-making, and particularly when it comes to determining how to allocate resources across the state. So it's important that the data is used to address regional deficits. As we know, the Northwest region has suffered from underinvestment. So it must ensure that demand for public investment is met with a renewed focus on accelerated delivery of vital infrastructure. So the Regional Development Monitor, it's welcome, but the data must guide targeted investments to drive improvements, be that in environmental sustainability, economic development, and indeed quality of life across Donegal and the wider northwest and western region.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. This Christmas, treat the GAA fan in your life to a Donegal jersey or the Six Sock Donegal men's gift box. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Ashin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with the World Cup. Australia have reached the second round of the competition for just the second time in their history. A goal from Matthew Leckie saw the Socceroos beat Denmark 1-0 this afternoon. Australia finish as Group D runners-up behind Group winners France. The defending champions needed a goal from substitute Antonio Griezmann to salvage a 1-1 draw with Tunisia. That equalising goal came in the 98th minute. Argentina tonight need a win to avoid a first group stage exit since 2002. Lionel Messi and co go up against Poland in their final Group C game. A draw will be good enough for Poland tonight. Both Saudi Arabia and Mexico are in need of one in the other game if they are to progress. Kick-off time to both those matches is 7 o'clock. More locally in soccer, Derry City FC have announced the signing of striker Colin Whelan. He signed on at the Brandywell on a 2-year contract. The 22-year-old was prolific during his time at UCD. He netted 44 times in 66 games during his term with the Students. Sligo Rovers have issued a number of supporters with barring orders from attending Sligo Rovers fixtures at the Showgrounds following an investigation into recent incidents at the fixture against St Patrick's Athletic in October. Trouble broke out at half-time in the fixture between both sets of supporters, and following investigations in association with the Garda Síochána, the club have identified a number of individuals and have issued them with stadium bans. The FAI say the introduction of professional contracts for women's National League players is a major step forward. From tomorrow, WNL players will be the subject to the same minimum wage regulations and standard player contracts as their male counterparts. While clubs will be under no obligation to offer professional contracts, but they can now have full-time, part-time or amateur players based on their circumstances. Coghill Celtic will be on the road in the last 16 of the FAI Intermediate Cup, with the Inishowen side facing a 1,000-plus kilometre round trip to Carrickalyne in County Cork. The Ulster Senior League champions have been drawn away to 2019 winners Avondale United, with the game to be played on the weekend of the 22nd of January. Coghill reached this stage of the competition with wins over Bunnygee United and Liffey Wanderers. In Gaelic games, Tyrone have received a triple boost with confirmation that their three most experienced players have committed to the season ahead. Peter Hart, Matty Donnelly and Ronan McNamee have confirmed to managers Fergal Logan and Brian Duher that they will be available for the 2023 campaign as the former All-Ireland champions bid to put a dreadful season behind them and regain supremacy. There had been speculation that some of the more senior members of the Red Hand squad may be about to bring their inter-county careers to an end, but it's understood that the management are not expecting any retirements as they begin preparations, with the squad set to come together at Gavahi this time or this week for the first time. In snooker, Mark Allen is through to round two of the Scottish Open. The Antrim man beat Martin Gould by 4-2 this afternoon in Edinburgh. And finally, in golf, the controversial LIV Series has added three more venues for its first full season, all of which are used by rivals the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. Valderrama, which staged the 1997 Ryder Cup, will put on the Spanish leg, while Mexico and Singapore have also been confirmed. They'll join the previously announced event in Adelaide, Australia. 10 more are still to be announced by the series. There you go, Michaela. That's your sport for today. We'll have more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisín. Weather now mostly cloudy this evening and tonight, with some patchy light rain and drizzle. Lowest temperatures of 6 to 8 degrees. The closing headlines this evening: this month has been the busiest November on record for Letterkenny University Hospital. It was the third most overcrowded hospital in the country this month, with 1,108 people on a trolley. Intelligence-led operations to protect those in the sex trade have been carried out in Donegal. Last week, Gardaí carried out 2 days of targeted action and met with 112 sex workers in 11 counties, including Donegal. There's been a cautious welcome to the increase in the social housing income eligibility threshold for Donegal. Housing Minister Dara O'Brien announced a €5,000 increase in the threshold for the county, meaning those who are seeking social housing can now earn up to €30,000. And a Donegal doctor is warning parents to become familiar with the symptoms of RSV as cases are on the rise. Dr. Kieran O'Farrey says the high number of cases is down to children's lack of exposure to the virus due to the COVID-19 lockdowns. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, November the 30th. The death has occurred of Mary Doherty, Nay Duggan, Darris Clee, Glenn and formerly of Cloncarney, Trenta. Removal strictly for immediate family only, please. Reposing at her family home in Darris Clee from tomorrow. Funeral from there on Saturday for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Columbus Church Termin, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice. The death has occurred of Anne Boyle, née Early, 122, Ardpatrick, Glenties, County Donegal. Anne's remains will repose at Chauvelin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, Ardra, from 7 o'clock this evening, with removal at 8 o'clock going to her son Michael's residence at 122 Ardpatrick, Glenties. Removal from there on Friday afternoon at 1:30 to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. and family time until 12 noon on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Thomas McBurty, Mumeen, St Johnston. Thomas is reposing at his late residence, Mumeen, St Johnston. Funeral leaving his late residence on Friday morning at 10:15, going to St Columbus Church, Dromahol, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has occurred of Desmond Holland, Desi Wilson, 9 Caw Park, Limavady Road. Service of Thanksgiving in his late home, 9 Caw Park, Limavady Road, on Friday afternoon at 12:30, followed by burial in Ballyowen Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desired to Foyle Branch at Parkinson's, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, funeral director. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Sean McMonigal, Mina Tinney, Fintown. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from his home tomorrow evening at 6:15, going to St Colm Kills Chapel, Fintown, to arrive at 7 o'clock for reception prayers and to repose overnight. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock on Friday morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Rosary at 9 o'clock, with family time from after the rosary until 11 a.m. The funeral mass can be viewed on Chap Pubbl Nefa Fintown Facebook page. The death has taken place of Eileen Casey, née McCrossan, aged 101 years, 7 Townsend Terrace, Strabane, reposing at her home, 7 Townsend Terrace, Strabane. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Mary May Cain, née O'Donnell, Chapel Road, Convoy, County Donegal, reposing overnight in St Mary's Church, Convoy. Funeral Mass at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, followed by burial in St Mary's Old Cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. until 10 a.m. The death has occurred of John Devine, 3A St Junan's Terrace, Raphoe, formerly Mossbeg, Ballindrate, County Donegal. John will be reposing at Kelly's Funeral Home, Oakfield, Raphoe, today until 7 o'clock, with rosary at 5:45. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Patrick's Church, Murlock, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on clonleeparish.com. The death has taken place of Patrick H. Doherty, Church Road, Carndonagh, reposing at his family home today, with removal on Friday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, and burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Medical 4, Letterkenny University Hospital. Mass can be viewed on Church Media. The death has taken place of Cornelius Con Pádraig Gallagher, Sleahan Derry Beg. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Rosary tonight at 8 o'clock. House private from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. Funeral mass in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. And the death has taken place of John Stevenson, 94 Hollyhill Road, Strabane, reposing at his sister Bernadette Devine's home, 98A Curlyhill Road, Strabane, today. Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, Strabane, on Wednesday morning, December the 14th at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.